You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are.
Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK. Thanks for tuning in on this Tuesday morning. Good to have you here. Well, PK saw this article in Christianity Today, and the title of it is Three Common Traits of Youth Who Don't Leave the Church. It's a different approach to a topic we've covered before.
And we thought this is great for going back to school, and it gives us some hope perhaps today too, but it also gives us a challenge of really doing a good job with our kids while we have them. John Nielsen is the senior high pastor at College Church in Wheaton, Illinois. And he has a blog called Something More Sure and has put together this article. And so I tracked him down. And John, nice to have you with us this morning. We really want to dig into these three common traits. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's pretty common, John, isn't it, where parents will say, where did I go wrong? I had my child in church and we raised him in the quote-unquote good Christian home, but then they do the prodigal thing and kind of walk away from the faith. This is a fairly common occurrence, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, we've seen it, and I think, you know, you've probably seen a lot of different statistics, none of them too encouraging, just mm-hmm. about the numbers of students who grow up in prominent, solid evangelical churches and go off to college and then make the decision to walk away from the faith, walk away from the local church, and walk away from Christ during their college years. So certainly we've dealt with that in our church context, you know, parents in our congregation wondering where in the world did we go wrong, and mourning really over the hearts and souls of their kids. So,
and when mm-hmm. we look at these statistics, like you're saying, I mean, all of them, depending on whoever did these studies, they're all well over half of the kids. Lifeway said 70% of the youth leave the church, but then 35% come back. So, you know,
that's
there is a ray of hope there with some of that, too. So that's really why we wanted to have you on, mm-hmm. because it's so easy to focus on, yeah, this is where we're headed. But, you know, and by the way, too, you're a senior high pastor. Mm-hmm. Just have to send some extra prayers your way, too, because I'm sure the challenges are great.
Yeah, and I'll just let you know, I was the senior pastor for just under 3 years, and for the past year, I've been leading the college ministry at our church. So I've kind of made that switch in the last year, but I've been involved in both of those areas of student ministry for the past 4 years.
So you've seen firsthand, then, with being a college pastor, where kids are at, how they are equipped, so to speak, in the faith before coming to campus when they get there. And this is really what we're talking about and focusing on, is that there are three specific traits that you see in young people that are pretty consistent as you look around, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And maybe I'll run through those as I now, you know, see the college students who come to our ministry. Mm-hmm. And by the way, college is such a strategic time for these students, because it is the time when they really make that decision on their own. Hey, is this faith real? Do I really have a personal commitment to Jesus Christ? And they take that step of embracing it as adult young men and women in the context of the local church. So it is a time when they are ready to decide whether their faith is their own or not. But yeah, the three characteristics, and I may phrase them a bit differently than I did in that article, but the first one has to do with the work of God. The second one has to do with the work of a youth ministry in the context of a local church. And then the third has to do with the work of families and what they're doing. So first of all, I just think from God's perspective, from a biblical perspective, the characteristic of students who stay with Christ and stay with the church is that they are genuinely converted during their high school years. So not only brought up in the context of the church, not only affirming the right truths about God, but having a genuine work of the Holy Spirit in their life that leads them to conversion, repentance of sin, and faith in Jesus Christ. So it's calling for that kind of a work in the lives of our students and praying for it fervently. Then the second one would be of youth ministry. As we think about what we're doing in our youth ministries and local churches, The students who walk with Christ after their junior high years are the ones who've been equipped and trained as ministers of the gospel during their youth years. rather than just kind of entertained in a ministry that's all about fun and bells and whistles. So it's the equipping ministry during the high school years. And then finally, as we think about the role of the family, it's the students who are young people who are part of families who actually share and disciple them under the ministry of the gospel, not just morality. So not a code of ethics only, but the actual gospel that Jesus Christ dies as the sacrifice for sinners, that our response is to live in joyful obedience to him. So it's students who have been brought up in a family that's really teaching them the gospel, not just a code of morality.
So is there a problem? This is kind of a formula in a way, but not, you know, I'll just kind of break it down that way. But is there a problem if one of these three elements maybe isn't in play in the youth lives, or can they still kind of stand strong if, you know, say if their family structure is not going to lend itself towards helping them walk in faith, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. I think that's why I put number one where I did, that ultimately it is a work of God. So all of our, even those of us who are raised in Christian homes, we need to recognize that our salvation is a miracle. So it's not something that our parents kind of manufactured in our hearts. Mm-hmm. It is, no matter where you came from, a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. So it does begin and end. Salvation begins and ends with God and his work in our lives through Christ. But I do think that as we look at the students who do turn away from the faith and turn away from the church, we should, as youth pastors, I'm talking about myself, we should point the finger at ourselves, at least in some ways, and say, okay, how did we fail to introduce our students to the genuine gospel, to equip them for ministry, and to infuse them into the life of the wider church body during their youth years? Or did we just kind of run an entertainment-based youth ministry that was all about trying to give them a good time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get so focused on numbers in the church sometimes, and now how big is the youth group, and is this person coming, and all that. It's the wrong focus, and I appreciate you pointing that out. It's 7:44. We're talking right now with John Nielsen. He is college pastor at College Church in Wheaton, Illinois, and author of an article called Three Common Traits of Youth Who Don't Leave the Church. Some helpful tips and great insight, and we're going to kind of flesh this out a little bit more with him, keep talking, and take your calls as well at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. More with John Nielsen in a moment here on Faith Radio Morning. Stay tuned.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah.
It's 7:47. This is Faith Radio Mornings. Great to have you along this morning as everybody's busy heading back to work after a long weekend, getting the kids out the door to school. And so we're talking about what happens with our youth, and we're talking with Pastor John Nielsen and going through an article he wrote called Three Common Traits of Youth Who Don't Leave the Church. And Pastor, when we're talking about our kids, and I'm going to focus on youth programs and youth ministry right now, what do we do as parents if we can really tell that the program that the kids are a part of is not equipping them, which you say is such a vital piece of it? What do we do with that? Do we have some options, or what have you seen or heard in your experience?
Wow, that's a great question. I think if there's a senior pastor who is kind of overseeing the youth pastor and the youth ministry, if there's a serious concern that there is not substantive biblical teaching and gospel training happening in the youth ministry, that's certainly something worth having a meeting with the senior pastor or the elders about. And I certainly think talking to the youth pastor himself and saying, hey, we want to partner with you. We want to be a part of this. We want to support this ministry and disciple our students together. And the way we want to do it is to help you to give them the rich meat of God's word in a way that they can actually interact with and be changed by. It's my conviction that in ministry, in gospel ministry, it is God's word that does the work in the lives of God's people by the power of his Holy Spirit. So it is word ministry that has the power. And so that's I think what we can be as parents, gently and humbly calling our youth pastors to do with our kids.
I know in our family experience, we had an instance where there was not a lot of the word being shared, and we were so focused on really wanting to equip our kids. And after talking to the youth pastor, and the youth pastor just said, well, this is what I do. I'm paid to do this. And when you're the youth pastor, you can make the decisions on how the program runs.
Yeah.
We had to make a very hard decision, and we had to find another church at that point because our kids were at that critical age where, you know, you just really want them to be getting some Bible teaching and just sinking that word in. Yet I felt bad that we had to do that. We had to leave, you know.
Yeah, no, but I think as parents, you need to be in a church where the people who are partnering with you as parents. I mean, you as parents mm-hmm. have as Christian parents, you have the primary role really for teaching and discipling your kids. You want to be partnered with youth pastors
yeah.
who support that role and who
and
are willing
them.
To come beside you and help. Yeah, absolutely. You're on the same team. So if you, I think one of the most dangerous things for youth pastors is when they kind of embrace this almost competitive, combative role with parents and become the young, cool, place for the students to go to
mm-hmm.
rather than saying, no, we're partnering with godly parents to help them disciple their kids in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Talking with John Nielsen again here on Faith Radio Mornings. He's college pastor at College Church in Wheaton, Illinois, and author of the article, Three Common Traits of Youth Who Don't Leave the Church. I want to talk a bit about that third one where their parents preach the gospel to them. That's a common trait for these students. And to take that a step further, you write about how the gospel is central in the home, in their everyday living and everyday life. And there may be parents listening today that suspect that their kids have all the head knowledge about God. They've been going to Bible school with them. They've been going to church, Sunday school and all that. But they may be wondering if they actually really are walking with the Lord or really understand the true basic gospel message. Do you have any advice for parents that might be wanting to just kind of clarify that with their kids?
Yeah. The principle behind that, the way our pastor, Josh Moody, sometimes will put it, is that we're a gospel-centered church, and that means that we understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died on a cross for sinners, that he was raised from the dead on the third day, and that's received by faith. That gospel, we understand that to be not just the ABCs of Christian faith, or the kind of the way that you get in,
yeah.
but it's actually the A to Z of Christian faith, so that actually Christian maturity is not getting past the gospel to something else. It's actually seeing the way that that gospel of Jesus Christ applies to every area of our life. Tangibly, I think what that looks like in the life of a family is that, first of all, you're talking constantly, just in everyday conversation. You know, in Deuteronomy, Moses instructs the parents in the community of Israel to be talking about God's word as they walk and as they go about their day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily just changing the way you do family devotions, although that's certainly good, but it's modeling what a gospel life looks like. So just one practical example, there's an altercation between two of the kids in the family. And the way that you deal with that in a gospel-centered way is not just to say, hey, apologize to your sister. It's actually to frame that in light of the way we have been so richly and deeply forgiven at the cross of Jesus Christ, and actually maybe to help teach our kids, if they're 7 and 5, hey, you forgive your sister because God in Christ forgave you, as Paul writes to the Colossians.
Mm-hmm.
So actually helping us see how the gospel impacts every little relationship and every little interaction in our daily lives.
Yeah, just making that, like you're saying, just a living, breathing letter that really speaks into who we are and why we follow Jesus.
That's right.
I have to ask you, John, now, if you could go back and do youth ministry over again based on what you've learned over the years, go back to your early years, would you change a lot of things now that you've been at this a while?
Yeah, wow. That's a tough question. I think I was trying, I wrote that article in the midst of youth ministry, so I was certainly trying to live that out. And I did youth ministry in the city for about 5 years before we came to Wheaton. I think what I would probably do is spend even, well, what I would try to do is be even more creative about how to bring the word into the lives of the students in a way that they can understand and connect with. One project I'm working on right now is which hopefully will come out in March, is a year-long Bible reading and devotional book aimed at high school and college students. It's going to be called The Story. And that's one resource that I wish I'd had earlier, just to help students get into the Word daily in a way that they can connect with and understand. I think even more creativity, not so much in the games and the retreats, but in how to actually bring the Bible to bear in the lives of students. And I think all of us in student ministries are still working on how to do that better and better.
And again, our guest here on Faith Radio Mornings is John Nielsen, college pastor at College Church in Wheaton, Illinois. John, what would you say that the single biggest need is for youth today when it comes to dealing with cultivating faith in their lives?
Yeah, I think they need and they want, I believe deep down, they want to be confronted with a deep and relevant gospel. Our students are in high school are taking calculus. They're taking AP history courses. They are smart. I mean, they're learning amazing things at school. And yet sometimes we think that when they come to church, we have to dumb down the Bible and dumb down the richness of the gospel so they can connect with it. So we actually sell them short in terms of what they can handle. And they are looking for something deep, something real. They're looking for a faith that wrestles with the hard questions of their lives. And that is in God's Word. We really do find that kind of a deep and powerful gospel faith in the pages of Scripture. So I think what our students need more than anything else is really rich engagement with the Bible.
And I think the challenge for us as either parents or as leaders, you're talking about that authentic faith. But if we're not growing that, living that, breathing that ourselves first, then it's going to be really hard to communicate that because they'll see if it's fake.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. They are so, this new generation, my generation, I'm 30 years old, my generation, and then the students 10 to 15 years younger than I am are almost better than anything else. They are so good at identifying kind of a counterfeit faith and a lack of authenticity. They crave authenticity. They can pick out a lack of authenticity a mile away. They want to see the gospel having a real impact on our lives. So parents, I think that means that for us, and I've got two little girls of my own, I think it means that we need to be very open about the way that we're growing in Christ and the way that we're confessing sin and the way that we're struggling to get into God's Word and love God's people in the context of the church. So they want to see that, the effect that our faith has on our lives.
Mm-hmm. Good conversation this morning. We do appreciate your insight, John. Again, college pastor at College Church Wheaton, Illinois, John Nielsen, joining us today. And just blessings to you and hope that curriculum comes together that you're writing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and blessings to you guys.
Yeah, thank you. We'll link up your article, too, so others can read that. And then, again, John's blog is called Something More Sure. So blessings to you as you just work with these college kids and just impact their lives in an incredible way. So thank you for sharing with us this morning.
Yep, thanks again for having me.
You bet.